This is Jay Sekulow. The president launches his re-election effort in Orlando.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Since the very first day I walked through the doors of the White House, I have never forgotten who sent me there. You did.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I have news for Democrats who want to return us to the bitter failures and betrayals of the past. We are not going back. We're going on to victory. Going on to victory.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, so the president launches his re-election effort in Orlando, Florida, in front of a gigantic crowd. Not just a gigantic crowd, $24.8 million has been raised in less than 24 hours. Reportedly this morning, before we've gone on the air today, over $4 million additional has been raised. The president bringing back familiar themes, also talking about some of the major accomplishments. But this is the beginning of the re-election effort. And look, next week we've got the first Democratic presidential debates for the Democratic National Committee sponsored debates for the Democratic Party. So whether we like it or not, the answer is we are back in election mode. Let's start with kind of a really important question that we want to hear from our audience. And what do you want to hear the president talking about? What are the issues that you want the president to address when he's out campaigning? We think that's really important. Of course, the socialism issue he did play in the right way because, again, it seems like many in the Democratic Party right now are running on the Socialist Party. This is what the president said about socialism.
America will never be a socialist country, ever.
Couldn't be any clearer than that. And I think that's going to become part of the dividing line here, also within the Democratic Party.
Listen, I mean, he's got real socialists running in the Democrat Party. Democrat, right. Socialist Bernie Sanders is still number two. Many of them have embraced some form, like even Pete Buttigieg has embraced this idea of democratic capitalism. That is also a key word for like a socialist capitalism, a fair capitalism, and this new kind of capitalism. You have Elizabeth Warren. These are far left actors. And so if you look at the top three, you get Joe Biden, who I think, who knows where he'll end up being policy-wise. He could end up being a democratic socialist by the time the debates are over because he's so finger-in-the-wind type of politician that, you know, he'd go from a segregationist to a desegregationist to a pro-Hyde Amendment to switching his mind on that in 24 hours about abortion funding to who knows where he will be by the end of next week's debate. He could sound a lot like Bernie Sanders. And if he does, I mean, this message that the president is going to repeat throughout the campaign is we will never be a socialist country. The fact that we're having to say that in the 2020 presidential campaign is a bit shocking when we look at the world and see Cuba and Venezuela and the failures of socialism around the world, not just the Soviet Union, but recent failures as well. But it's real. It's a reality. And the people making the biggest news outside of the presidential candidates in the Democratic Party are those who have embraced Democrat socialism, like AOC types, who have been pushed forward and have really been in control of Nancy Pelosi.
Andy, do you think they made an intentional move? You know, there's this internal debate within the Democratic Party, but the democratic socialism issue seems to be the one that's galvanizing this enthusiasm, if you will.
Oh, among the Democrats, it is the galvanization process. Democratic socialism is indicative of somebody who's never read an economic or social history book in their lives because there have been failures everywhere, and we know that. We know that in Russia. We know that in Greece. We know that in France. We know that in Britain. We know that in socialist Spain and all over the place, but they yet have not really come across and realized that is not going to work. It is not a system that works. It is a system that is doomed to failure, and we're not going to have it in the United States, and President Trump made that very clear.
All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, we're going to take your calls at 800-684-3110, your comments as well on Facebook. We want to know what are the items, what do you want to hear the president talking about as the campaign gets underway, and it is now clearly underway. So we'll get your comments on that at 1-800-684-3110. Also, let me encourage you, we're 5 days away from filing a major brief in the courts on Planned Parenthood. Your support to the ACLJ makes a huge difference. You can do that at aclj.org. Back with more in just a moment.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Then let's go to Kathy's question first here. This is from Kathy on Facebook. I want to hear the president discuss how to get the Democrats to side with him on the humanitarian crisis at the border. Jordan, you said there's now been some movement.
There has been movement, and I'll let Than explain it. But remember, yesterday we focused on what Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said about concentration camps, and then she got into this whole thing about, are concentration camps the same as death camps? You had the Auschwitz Foundation coming out, correcting people like Chris Hayes and saying they were incorrect in the media about the way they were describing the difference between work camps and death camps. And by the way, she also used the phrase never again, which is only associated with the Holocaust of the Jews, the 6 million Jews. So whatever she wants to say, concentration versus death camp, the fact is she was referencing Nazis, referencing the Holocaust, and comparing what we do on our border to that, calling our president a fascist. So again, the Nazis were a fascist party. Again, all those connections were made. But Than, because of that controversy, there's been a very quick change in the Senate Appropriations Committee, which was a no-go on any new humanitarian funding. And suddenly last night, a deal announced between two unlikely partners.
Yeah, shocking reversal here, Jordan. I mean, when we were on the air yesterday, the Democrats' position on the Hill was that they were absolutely not willing to negotiate on the White House's proposal. Remember, the White House's proposal did not include funding for the wall. This was just saying, look, there's a humanitarian crisis. We want to send humanitarian aid and additional beds and shelter down to the border to make sure that people are well cared for. And Senate Democrats were not willing to engage that. Jordan, you mentioned the comments from Congresswoman Cortez. I really do think that's the flashpoint here, because all of a sudden, Democrats could not be in a position of calling the crisis a concentration camp and standing in the way of humanitarian aid. Last night, the deal that was released, reached between Chairman Shelby, a Republican, and Ranking Member Leahy was essentially the White House proposal to send $4.5 billion down to the border for aid. Now, Jordan, I mean, you know this as well as anyone. This is not a permanent solution. This is not permanent detention space. It's also not authorizing the administration to enforce the border. But, Jordan, it is an admission that there is a crisis on our border. In fact, I would just tell you this in closing. Both Patrick Leahy and Senator Murray, Jay, they called it a crisis during this markup. They have now admitted there's a humanitarian crisis, and they've reached a deal to send $4.5 billion in humanitarian aid. Now we'll see if they come to the table and actually work with the president to fix the problem.
And here's the breakdown of that aid, too. I mean, it's $2.9 billion to HHS, of humanitarian aid. So of the 4.5, 2.9 is specific humanitarian aid for women, children, and families. 1.3 billion is to the Department of Homeland Security so that the facilities are better operated. So you have better facilities. 145 million goes to the DOD for better facilities and transportation, because if you're going to have deportations, you've got to have the capabilities and the vehicles to do the deportations. And 220 million goes to adjudication, more attorneys and more judges, immigration right. judges at those facilities who can handle these cases quicker. So I think you add this up. The only reason we got there, thank Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in her Instagram video comparing concentration camps to our detention facilities on the U.S. southern border. Because of her, those facilities will now get the help they needed.
This is, I don't like what you said, obviously, but this is what you said.
The United States is running concentration camps on our southern border, and that is exactly what they are. The fact that concentration camps are now an institutionalized practice in the home of the free is extraordinarily disturbing.
I don't know if she's ever visited in Europe a concentration camp. I have.
Yeah, we had callers yesterday who had.
And let me tell you something. That was the ignorance of this young member of the United States Congress is breathtaking in scope. And her insensitivity and lack of understanding of history, Andy, I would say, is also lacking in scope.
It is. And, you know, those who do not know history are doomed to repeat it. And she has made a foolish remark, a stupid remark, a remark that shows an ignorance of what happened in World War II. And to dare to use the phrase never again in the context of what is happening in the border in the southern part of the United States as regards and with respect to what happened in Central and Eastern Europe to the Jews during World War II is the most outrageous thing. So maybe some good comes from it because now these two senators are getting together to come up with a bill. But I hate to say that something good came from an outrageous remark like
that. I will say this. There's two reasons why we spent yesterday's broadcast focused almost exclusively on this. We focused on some Iran news as well that was breaking through Secretary Pompeo, but almost exclusively on this. One, because of what Andy said. It's so outrageous. It deserved commentary. It came from a member of Congress who the Democrats have elevated to a top leader, even though it's only her first term. Democrats have decided to let her be a spokesperson for the Democrat Party, and they did not denounce this. They went and twisted themselves all around into saying she wasn't really incorrect. Second, the reason why we do highlight this is that you can get sometimes something good out of something so horrendous.
Yeah.
And if by focusing in on these horrendous comments, the Democrats will move on legislation they said no to because of 24 hours because they're embarrassed by AOC, well, then that gives all the more reason why for us to spend that time like we did yesterday pounding the issue, because it made it to all the news outlets, all the news networks, and everybody was having to comment on. By the end of the day, the liberal journalists were being fact-corrected by groups like the Auschwitz Foundation.
Yeah, American Jewish Congress and others.
They lost that debate. You know, they lost that debate.
Wes, what was your takeaway of where it is after the speech yesterday?
For the president?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he did a great job. The American people were listening, not just the 20,000 people who were there. I think one of his real strengths, and he did this somewhat, he needs to do it more, is painting many of the Democratic candidates as being socialistic, which implies more government control of your life, and being really enemies of capitalism, even a compassionate capitalism, which is what we are as Americans. So I think that is one of the strengths going into this election season. The average American does not want more government interference in their lives. They are not willing to see America become a socialistic nation. And he is right to paint the Democrat candidates with that broad stroke, because that's their tendencies. And some of them, that's actually what they are articulating. And I don't think it's going to fly with the American people. You know, the Democrats in South Carolina hosted a national meeting the last 2 days that ended yesterday. And John Cowan, who's a Democratic strategist and founder of a group called The Third Way, which is a center-left Democrat group, said this: "I don't believe a self-described Democratic socialist can win the presidential election, nor a Democratic Party that embraces those views or allows itself to be easily defined and labeled by them." That will be one of the key issues, I believe, Jay, in the debates next week with the Democrat candidates and going forward into the presidential election in about 17 months.
So, Harry, from a I want Thana to comment on this too. The Democrats are pushing this socialism thing. I mean, like even what George said, Buttigieg, kind of this new democratic capitalism, whatever that means.
That was his way of not saying the word socialism,
right?
But adding the keyword democratic, like, we're going to change capitalism to make it more
like socialism.
And again, this is a guy who came from the McKinsey Group, made a lot of money already, was a Rhodes Scholar, was a money guy.
It's just
and Elizabeth Warren, remember, was a conservative. A conservative economics professor, then got to Harvard and had this, you know, change of heart and became this ultra liberal professor of economics. I mean, I just think, again, it's a honest and real debate to have, and they will be having it next week. I think every one of those candidates will be fairly asked, even in the NBC debate, do you support the idea of this Democrat socialism? And what is Joe Biden going to say to this? What is Mayor Pete going to say to it? What is Beto going to say? What's Kamala Harris going to say? How will Elizabeth Warren really address that? She wants to be the ultra liberal, but does she want to be does she want to be tagged? She's already been tagged as a Pocahontas and lying about that history. Does she want to be tagged as a Democrat socialist also?
Well, Harry, does she?
Well, I think Jordan is precisely correct. We need an honest debate over socialism, because if you actually focus on the facts, the historical facts, socialism does lead to benefits, generally for elites. And so socialism effectively redistributes income to individuals who are already well off, already powerful. And so what the Democrats are pushing is basically a plan which would move more and more power to Washington, D.C., which is already the wealthiest region in America, and take money from the American people.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to take your calls. We already got comments coming in Facebook as well. Doug's on the phone and some others. Hang on the phone, folks. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Also, Jordan's going to let you know you can support the ACLJ.
Yeah, go to ACLJ.org. And if you go to ACLJ.org, you can always support the work of the ACLJ financially. We need your financial support as well so we can file these briefs, get involved in the cases that we have going on around the country. We're not just a radio broadcast. We're a legal organization. Support the work. Donate what you can at ACLJ.org. We have great resources there available to you as well. Blogs, stories, news updates, legal updates about our cases that we don't even get to on our radio broadcast. That's ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. So President Trump, Mike Pence kick off their official campaign last night in Orlando, Florida. 20,000 people. They maxed out the Amway Center. There was no more space there. It was interesting how media networks covered it. Fox News covered the entire event. CNN cut away when the crowd started chanting something anti-CNN, I will say, then came back to some of the rally. MSNBC basically tried to ignore it. So this is, I think they learned their lesson a little bit, some of these liberal and mainstream outlets, that if you cover Donald Trump for 2 hours every time he does a rally, you're going to basically reelect him on your own. But I will say that if you were going to cover other events, then you at least cover when the president speaks. And again, some of this will get where there'll be multiple times a day and you don't have to cover all of it. I understand that. But when you have this campaign kickoff,
yep.
I thought the fact that they didn't cover it was a political move. It was a political move, sure, because they realize if they put Donald Trump on the air, even their viewers start changing their minds about who they support. Even
I think that's right.
MSNBC viewer, a blue-collar worker who may tune into MSNBC more than Fox News, though I doubt that there's many of those left who are tuning into MSNBC over Fox News, but they may be looking at that saying, you know what, this guy sounds exactly like what I'm talking about. He has a lot more to accomplish. He's only 2.5 years into his presidency. He's already having to run again. But he's had to fight against the Mueller investigation. He had to fight against the deep state. He's finally got, like he said last night, a great attorney general in place. He's got a great secretary of state. He's got to find a new secretary of defense while we've got the conflict with Iran. The economy is booming. So there's a lot more to accomplish to keep America on track, to keep the economy booming. One of those big issues I think will be hopefully settled soon, which is the tariffs issue with China.
So Jerry Nadler's now doubling down supporting Cortez, looks like. We'll get that bite. I want to see what that says. All right, so the president did say a message last night that I think is important to talk about, and that is, what will people understand in the upcoming election, number 23?
Remember, the only thing these corrupt politicians will understand is an earthquake at the ballot box. That's what they will understand, and they're going to see it. We did it once, and now we will do it again, and this time we're going to finish the job.
So, Fan, what's your view on that? I mean, I think he's right in the sense that at the end of the day, it's the individual citizens of this country that are going to select a president of the United States.
Yeah, I mean, I think for starters, it's pretty clear that the president is a political juggernaut, Jay. I mean, you went through some of those numbers. You talked about 20,000 people packing the Amway Center. I think every other candidate would have been salivating to accomplish that. But Jay, I got to tell you, $25 million in one day, that is a staggering number, and it's on top of $40 million in the bank. So look, whoever the eventual nominee is, they're going to have to buckle in. But on substance, Jay, I mean, this goes back to the conversation you had with Jordan about democratic socialism. That is not going to play in the Rust Belt, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin. And Jay, an eventual Democrat nominee, they are going to have to win in the Rust Belt to defeat the president. So this is something that I think an eventual nominee is going to have a real hard time wiggling out of.
Yeah, and we are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We want to know from you, what do you think President Trump needs to say? We've asked you about Democrats. We've asked you about the Democrat debates. This time, because President Trump kicked his campaign off last night, what do you want to hear from the president? That's going to be the first of many times you're going to hear from him across the country and hear from Mike Pence and hear from his surrogates. What issues should he be focused in on? For me, it's our incredible economy. It is the immigration issue and the border crisis, border security. And number three, my top issue is, again, the defeating the deep state in the government reform. But let's go to Doug in Florida on line three. Doug, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Doug.
Good. Doing good. Thank you, sir.
Good.
The main topic that I would like to hear the president speak about is the debt.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got this booming economy going on right now. If we can't pay the debt off now, how in the world are we ever going to pay it off later? And what is the plan that he has for that? Do you guys know?
Okay, so that you raise a really important question, because the debt issue has always been an issue, certainly during our lifetime. Harry, what's your sense of, A, how important of an issue, and B, how should it be handled?
Well, I think the caller makes a very legitimate point. Clearly, the debt has been a problem for this country for the past 20 to 30 years. And I think one of the things that we can do is to, A, try to ensure that the economy still grows, and then that will produce more tax revenue, which will hopefully pay down the debt. Secondly, we need to resist the temptation to create new programs which would drain the budget even more. And so one of the things to keep in mind is that the Democrats are proposing a raft of new proposals, ranging from the Green New Deal, basically Medicare for all. And this would require trillions of dollars. So one of the things to keep in mind, if the debt is important to you, is to resist new programs, even though those programs will be framed in basically compassionate language. Don't you care about X person or Y person who needs health care? So those are two things that we need to do immediately. I think there's some long-term goals that need to be achieved as well. We need to reform, for instance, the budgetary process going forward.
Here's one of the issues President Trump came in with when speaking to the national debt. He's acknowledged it, but he also came into office with a military, U.S. military, that had been completely depleted and destroyed. Remember Chuck Hagel said he was going to take a sledgehammer to the Department of Defense budget? He did. So President Trump had to spend hundreds of millions of dollars to get our military, and is still in the process of doing that. I'll go to Wes on this after I play President Trump from last night, just to get our military back in fighting form, because the Obama administration, literally, their Department of Defense secretary at the time, Chuck Hagel, said, we're going to take a sledgehammer to the DOD budget, and they did. So the president has had to spend, I mean, I don't think it was a question, he had to spend considerable amounts of U.S. resources, the largest amount of any spending program he's done on our military. Take a listen to President Trump, and then I'll go to Wes Smith, retired colonel, Byte 62.
After past leaders slashed military budgets, we are rebuilding the U.S. Armed Forces with $700 billion last year and $716 billion this year, far more than ever before.
Wes, that's the kind of spending you have to do to get our military back on track, even with the debt issue.
Absolutely. And, you know, the two most important things that the federal government was even established for is regulating interstate commerce and national defense. One of his strengths is that he is rebuilding the military. It was woefully, alarmingly depleted over the previous 8 years. This president listens to his generals and his admirals and his other military leaders. He's increased the defense budget. It will take us a number of years to really get it back to where it belongs as far as readiness and equipment and what have you. But he has made the turn in the road on that. And he is very, very popular with military people because of this.
All right. That's going to do it for the first half hour of the broadcast. But we're here for another 30 minutes. We're going to get to your calls. We've got comments coming in as well. 1-800-684-3110. Let me encourage you to do something. Support the work of the ACLJ. You know, I mentioned the other day, we've got a brief going to the courts right now on Planned Parenthood. Here's another one dealing with border security, filed by the American Center for Law and Justice. Your support of the ACLJ allows us to do that kind of work. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Back with more in just a few moments.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Since the very first day I walked through the doors of the White House, I have never forgotten who sent me there. You did. You did. You did.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
We had a great question by Kelly on Facebook that came in during the break that said, do you think the Democratic candidates will be asked the hard questions about socialism in their upcoming debate? I said last week that should be the first thing, Andy, they should be asked.
It should be the first thing because that's what they're all espousing. I want them to be asked the question, do you believe America should be a socialist country or should become a socialist country? I want to hear the answer to that. And they're all going to have to say in order to appeal to their base, well, yes, I think, well, Bernie Sanders is going to say yes. Pocahontas, Warren is going to say yes. They're all going to say yes. In some fashion or other, they'll temper their words. They'll dance around it. They'll use this democratic root capitalism that the mayor Buttigieg. Of Buttigieg, whatever, says, you know, and all that. But at base, they're all going to talk about socialism as being what they want. The government controls your life from your cradle of your birth until the day you die.
Wes?
Yeah, socialism always implies more and more government regulation, more and more loss of freedom, more and more government interference in your life. And I think they should be asked that. My fear, though, and my prediction, Jay, is if they are asked that, as Andy said, they will dance around it. They will actually define socialistic principles and programs, but they'll try to avoid that label.
So, Fan, you know, I was just with you yesterday. We were talking about some of this. Isn't that the 64th? Ton elephant in the room there? I mean, is the socialism question? They've kind of set this up. They've teed this up.
It absolutely is, Jay. But look, I'd actually pay more attention to the follow-up question because I think all of the candidates on the stage are going to embrace it. They're going to try to run towards Bernie Sanders to try to get the nomination. But, Jay, the follow-up question is the important one. The follow-up question is, we've seen this play out across history and it doesn't work. It results in breadlines. I'd go back to Senator Sanders and say, you actually think that's a positive thing. Please tell the people, the blue-collar workers in America, why you see that as a positive thing. Let's follow up and talk about the ramifications of so-called Democrat socialism, as opposed to just giving them a blanket opportunity to say, yes, I'm for it. It's different than socialism as a whole. Follow up and ask the detailed question.
You know, ultimately, at the end of the day, if this is what they embrace, they lose the election. I mean, Bernie Sanders cannot win the U.S. election. I mean, I'm just telling you that,
right?
Embracing socialism. Americans are scared of that term for good reason. We've learned from history. That term is a term that you embrace to show you want to radically change something. As Bernie Sanders did say, as Stan said, he thinks breadlines can be good because they are fair and they treat everyone equally. Unless you were a Soviet leader, by the way, and a Politburo leader, you didn't have to wait in those breadlines. And the Maduro government, you know, they're not waiting in the breadlines with the people in Venezuela. The Cuban government, they're not waiting in the breadlines. The rationed grocery stores for chicken or for rice or beans with the people. That's socialism. There's an elite. Bernie Sanders and whoever's elected to lead it would be part of that elite. It'd be all of us who'd be taxed to death, who'd be waiting in line for our medicine, rationed medical care, hours at medical facilities. And again, I think if they all embrace some form of that, that will be what Donald Trump pivots to. Right now, I think the president's at a point, and then we can talk about this again because we're asking people what they want to hear from the president. We'll start taking those calls when we come back from this break. But right now, I think the president does two things. One, you talk a little bit about Joe Biden because he's number one, and he's part of the Obama administration involved in all the spying and all the unmasking. So, again, he ran against that administration and those policies. He's back again. You talk about Bernie Sanders because he's number two. No need to really elevate the others when you've got that kind of a crowd,
yeah,
and that kind of a focus right now. And you wait and let others kind of throw. Let AOC cause disasters inside the Democrat debate. Let the Planned Parenthood going after Biden on the Hyde Amendment cause disasters inside. So you disrupt the Democrat process on their side.
Yep.
That's where you want to see the most disruption right now. Republican nominating process smooth. We'll be right back.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Of course, in the speech, the Mueller report, not surprisingly, came up a little bit, not a lot, which was good. I think it was the right tone about that. Yep. But he was, president knows the statistics that we dealt with and what we did over the last 2 years and that successful conclusion to that, as the president likes to call it, witch hunt and hoax.
And I think it's exactly what it was.
Oh, it's definitely an attempt to take down the duly elected president of the United States. No question about that.
And what he warned people is, you know, who knows if they'll try to do this again. I mean, the deep state is still pretty active, though he's done a pretty good job of gutting it, and Bill Barr is doing a good job of scaring them back into their deep state holes. But take a listen. I thought this was impressive by the president to start off the rally by making it clear when all the media was still covering it, Byte 70, the facts about the Mueller report.
They appointed 18 very angry Democrats to try to take down our incredible movement. After 2 years, 1.4 million pages of documents, 500 search warrants, 500 witnesses, 2,800 subpoenas, and 40 FBI agents working round the clock, what did they come up with? No collusion. And the facts that led our great attorney general to determine no obstruction. No collusion, no obstruction. And they spent $40 million on this witch hunt. $40 million.
And they got nothing on President Trump.
Correct.
At all on the issue of Russia or any other issue. Now take a listen. This is how President Trump has summed it up. Byte 3.
Many times I said we would drain the swamp, and that's exactly what we're doing right now. We're draining the swamp. And that's why the swamp is fighting back so viciously and violently. For the last 2.5 years, we have been under siege. And with the Mueller report, we won. And now they want a do-over. They want a do-over. Let's do it again. Didn't work out too well. Let's do it again.
The president is 100% correct. The case is closed. The case is over. This redo in Congress that's going on right now, Andy, is exactly that. It's an attempt to redo. They got Hope Hicks back in today testifying and on limited testimony. And the fact of the matter is, it's done. There was no collusion.
The Attorney General correctly noted that there was no obstructive acts, no obstruction. But as important of all of that is, it should be over. It should be done. But you know what I want to say, just the finality of it is, we won. They exercised all the authority they had as a federal prosecutorial office, and we prevailed. The president prevailed. The legal strategy worked. We carried the day. We won. I'm making that very clear. Andy?
Well, that's true. We did win. We won on the fact that there was no collusion. We won on the fact that there was no obstruction. We won on the fact that there was no crime. That we won on the fact that no indictable offense occurred. We won on every basis whatsoever and fought this thing tooth and nail for 2.5 years and prevailed in the end. But the Democratic-controlled Congress will not concede defeat. They are now dragging Hope Hicks back in, probably to ask her questions about who dictated what on what airplane going to where. Who cares? I don't care anymore.
Well, it's already been asked and answered, and it's in a report.
I mean, read the report that Mueller got up and said, I'm not going to testify anymore before anybody. My report is that 430 pages of...
Exactly.
You know,
but just remember this part, folks. We won that, okay? That's the part. It's getting lost in a lot of the... I mean, look, no one wants to talk about it anymore except some in the media, because the reality is it's over. It's done. We won. No obstruction. There was no conclusion. There was no collusion, and there was no, and the collusion is, remember, not the legal term. That's a term that the media and everybody else, they called it cooperation. They called it coordination. They called it conspiracy. Nothing. The whole basis upon which that took place produced zero. But we've got a witness being testified today, is testifying today before a committee on the same thing all over again. So the president has the right to be frustrated, but as his lawyers, I'm going to say it, we won. Let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Yeah, right back to the phones we go. I think George in Maryland, line two, this is a good point. George, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, George.
Hey, thank you, guys. You know, I can't sit down with the president and tell him what I feel, but Jay, you can. You have his ears. You always talk to him. And what I'd like to see him say is to the voters, look, we got the 2020 election, not only for me, but we got the House and Senate. Democrats are running. I need you to replace them with Republicans so we can get this agenda of ours done. I need the Republicans that are running to be reelected or veterans put in, but stay Republican, so that we don't have people rebuffing us. I know he's going to put good policies forward, but I'd like to have him say, you know, during the midterms, that was a slap in his face with all he accomplished for those areas to put them Dems in there.
But look, that's what free elections are, though, and the Democratic Party won the majority in the United States House of Representatives. Now, the question is, Stan, going in now to a presidential election, things tend to flip back the other way, if he carries
the
ticket.
Having the president on the ballot is going to help in a lot of those swing districts, Jay. I mean, the Democrats have about a 35-seat advantage in the House right now. Look, the caller's point is well taken on a number of these issues. Jordan talked about the deep state. Look, Jay, there is an oversight role for the House of Representatives to play here. I mean, you talk about all of the people who have been pushed out of the FBI and the DOJ over this abuse. Well, there should be more. And frankly, the House should be focused on the oversight there. That would probably happen if the House flipped control. But politically speaking, you need to flip about 17 or 18 seats and the president be on the ballot, Jay, it really helps.
Let me tell you what the House majority does not want right now. Okay, let me be really clear. What they do not want is U.S. Attorney Durham and Attorney General Barr. That's what they don't want, because all their friends, the Comeys, the Clappers, the Brennans, the McCabes, the Strzoks, the Pages, the Bruce Orrs, all of that's coming out. All of that information is going to be out there, and they're going to have to. That's what all this oversight jockeying that you're seeing, and these redos, as the president calls it, that's what this is, Wes. That's what they're trying to
absolutely
do.
Absolutely. What has come out, a revelation from this 2.5-year witch hunt, is the corruption at the highest levels of our government, that the swamp actually has swamp creatures in it that are fighting back. And, you know, as a student of history, the shocking thing about what you just described is that this has never happened in the history of the United States. What we witnessed through all the materials coming out and that will come out with Horowitz's release of his report and other reports, is that they actually tried to overthrow an elected administration, a presidential administration. That has never happened. The political corruption has never been like this before, and that's what's really coming out of some of these reports.
There's an NRCC the National Republican Congressional Committee, their focus is on the House. The president being on the top of the ticket helps. We need great Republican candidates. I think probably Vice President Mike Pence is behind the scenes doing a lot of that work as well, going around the country, raising money for House candidates, raising money for Senate candidates, as well as raising money for the Trump campaign, and generally raising money for Republican Party apparatuses. But the president did address it last night. I mean, it was not addressed maybe as specifically as the caller was looking for. So I think it's a good point to make that let's make it a little bit more direct, Mr. President, make it more about taking back the House. But he's got to get the numbers from his team that say this is possible.
Yep.
Because the Senate's looking pretty good right now. Be tight, but looking pretty good right now. And that's key to at least keep one of those if you're reelected.
But you think the Senate, right? I think they could pick up a seat.
Yes, because the only really tough ones looking for the Republicans right now, Arizona and Colorado look tough. Not unwinnable, but tough.
And if Alabama gets the candidate in place, that could Alabama should flip right back.
Right, exactly, especially with President Trump on the ballot. But he did address this last night at the rally. Let's play it.
Just imagine what this angry left-wing mob would do if they were in charge of this country. Imagine if we had a Democrat president and a Democrat Congress in 2020. They would shut down your free speech, use the power of the law to punish their opponents, which they're trying to do now anyway.
So Harry, how do you read? I mean, the president, I mean, I think what Jordan's saying is right. I mean, he said it, but the House control is a big issue if you're the president.
Absolutely. Any president. And so if you look at what's happened over the last 12 months or so, since the Democrats took control of the House, their focus has been on one thing and one thing only, investigating President Trump. They have not been interested in anything that approaches something called bipartisan reform. And so I think it's very, very important for the president, for the administration, and for the American people going forward to recapture the House of Representatives and to perhaps nudge Nancy Pelosi back to California.
This is going to be the interesting, we'll talk to this, we'll talk about it a little bit during the break on what we think really happens in the House and how does that play out. We'll take your calls. Phone lines are jammed, 800-684-3110. But you can get your comments in on Facebook. You could also support the work of the ACLJ.
Yeah, go to aclj.org. You can always make a financial contribution. Every contribution counts and matters for all the work that we do. You know, it's not just a radio broadcast. We are filing briefs. We are in court. We've got attorneys across the country. Go to aclj.org. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
We're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110. We got a lot of them. So we're going to go in the order they called. Make it quick. Make it tight. Here we go.
This is a really interesting one. Renee's in Colorado on line 6. I want to address this because I looked it up. Renee, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Renee.
Hi. Thanks for all you do.
Sure.
My question is, I'm Trump supporter, was before, still am. I vote. How do I make my vote count in a state where our new governor has decided that they will go with the popular vote, not even of the state, but of the nation?
Okay, so here's how this legislation actually works. Pretty unlikely it's going to pass this time. And here's why. We have a pretty divided country when it comes to state legislatures. The way that the resolution worked, for instance, Renee in Colorado, which I disagree with these, because taking away your
right to vote.
But Colorado has joined 11 other states in D.C. pushing legislation requiring the electoral votes to be assigned to whoever wins the nationwide popular vote. So it doesn't matter where you voted and how your state voted independently. It's how the country voted and the popular vote.
Serious constitutional issues. Serious
they constitutional only issues. Go into effect if enough states adopt it to where they represent at least 270 electoral college votes, the minimum number of electoral college votes to win the presidency. Right now, the only other states looking at it are New Mexico. That only brings it, and Delaware, bringing it to 186. No Republican-led states have adopted this legislation yet. So I would say that it's very unlikely in 2020, yep, as of today, that, Renee, your vote in Colorado won't be counted as a Colorado vote for the Electoral College.
And
but I do understand
serious
the concerns. And I think if it does hit there, you'd have cases in the Supreme Court.
You're not kidding. I mean, very, very serious legal issues. All right, we're going right back to the phones. Taken in the order you called, 800-684-3110. Who's next?
Michelle in Washington State on line 3. Michelle, welcome to Jay Sekulow.
Hi, Michelle. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. I live in a state where tax-funded abortion was started in this country, and they support all the states around them, Alaska, Oregon, Idaho, and, of course, Washington. And so I really believe, in answer to Jordan's question about what the president should focus on, is pro-life. And also the youth they're all looking for an answer to the Green New Deal. And I would recommend studying H.R. 173. The Young Entrepreneur Council supports it. I don't know if I support all the data that goes into it, but it's a free market approach answer.
Sure. So you raised an interesting question, and that is on the life issue, which is an issue that galvanizes young people. Young people are becoming more and more pro-life. Let's take a listen to what the president said. This is 59.
Virtually every top Democrat also now supports taxpayer-funded abortion right up to the moment of birth, ripping babies straight from the mother's womb. Leading Democrats have even opposed measures to prevent the execution of children after birth. You saw that in Virginia.
So, Harry, I think that issue, as the caller said, galvanizes a lot of support. There's a lot of pro-life people that are listening to this broadcast, but there's a lot of pro-life citizens in the United States. And there's going to be the Democrats are saying, we have a litmus test. If a person is pro-life, they cannot be a judge.
I think that is correct. So what the Democrats are doing, unintentionally, of course, is that they are riling up voters who believe that the protection of life is paramount. And so principled voters, many of whom will vote on this single issue, will have an even greater incentive to come to the polls. And some of the approaches taken, particularly by Senator Gillibrand, who claims that opposing abortion constitutes being in favor of racial discrimination,
right,
those things are truly abhorrent. And so the moral compass has been lost among many Democrats, including Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Senator Gillibrand, and most of the leading contenders for the Democratic Party.
So those statements that they're making, like the Holocaust, the concentration camp comparison, if you're pro-life, you're basically a bigot. That stuff, those kind of statements, they're playing a base to this, Wes. I mean, there's a group they're playing to this.
Oh, yeah, they are. But most Americans are center-right people. You take the abortion issue, which was just brought up. You know, even people who are pro-choice have been shocked at the extremes to which they are taking this. It is not playing well with the American public. I think it's a losing issue for them.
No, I think time and time again, each campaign cycle that Democrats, you know, it was for Barack Obama, it's you cling to your Bibles and your guns. For your and irredeemables and deplorables, Hillary Clinton. Let me just say, I think the language that President Trump used on abortion was key. And he's one of a unique person to deliver that message, the tough talk on it. So when he's in a debate stage with whoever Democrat wins, and they've all had to adopt the extreme, I think by then, whoever is the nominee, including Joe Biden, has gone as far as the New York law supporting it, right?
I think
so,
that's right.
So they're going to be faced with Donald Trump saying, you support taxpayer-funded abortion right up to the moment of birth and ripping a baby straight from the mother's womb. Yeah. He's going to say that right to their face. And when the American people have Joe Biden or whoever it is squirming on the air, and then he hits back with saying, you even have supported measures that support the execution of children after birth. And they're going to squirm around for answers on that too. That terminology I really liked, executing children after birth and ripping babies straight from their mother's wombs.
Yeah, okay, let's go to Linda's calling from Minnesota, line one. Linda, you're on the air.
Yes, hello, thank you so much for all you do. I am first born in the United States of America. My parents fled Poland.
Yep.
My father was in Buchenwald. We are talking socialism. I have an 85-year-old brother who has told me stories, along with my parents, about standing in bread lines, about ripping boots off of dead soldiers and all this. And these people think that this is going to work. My brother said this to me just very recently. This country is becoming or can become the country we ran from.
Andy,
I'm
going to go to Andy Economy because his family, like my family, were immigrants to the United States. Very powerful words from Linda.
Very powerful and very moving words. When you talk about your family was, or some member of your family was from Buchenwald, I can't possibly begin to understand and empathize with you on that because it's such a horror. And I just saw a comment, Jay, from Representative Jerry Nadler.
I saw that.
Who says that the concept of never again should be applicable to what Cortez said with respect to what is happening on the southern border.
Horrible.
He ought to be ashamed to be a Jew. To make a statement like that makes him sickening to me.
Yeah, horrible. Let's take the last call.
Terry in Maryland on line five. Terry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just want to thank you guys for what you do. It really is amazing. Anyway, you know, I think one thing that the president needs to really get out there is his position on the health care, on the,
pre-existing conditions. What's the latest on that?
Every plan that the White House put out, every plan that Senate Republicans put out included a guarantee that pre-existing conditions would be covered. Jay, this goes back to the caller's point about reelecting a Republican House. In order to get that over the line, you need Congress. Right now, you don't have it.
I will say he is planning on announcing a new White House plan sometime this summer, probably by July. The president has said that in that ABC interview. And take a listen, President Trump. Oh, okay, we can't do that real quick. It was a 15-second bite. But he said he's going to protect Medicare and Social Security for our seniors. And never, you know, mess with anything with people with pre-existing conditions. But again, look into July, maybe later in the summer, for a new healthcare plan coming from the president and his campaign.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up.